The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
This summer, school is in session. Ready to take your relationship with God to a whole new level? Learn more about the power of God's Word and discover an amazing helper available to you. Join Joyce University on Enjoying Everyday Life through the month of August.
Man, I love telling other people what to do.
Tune in for new subjects each week, then go online for study material and classroom aids to help you make the grade.
You get it?
You've been watching Joyce University right here on Enjoying Everyday Life.
I'm so happy to be part of this year's Love Life Women's Conference. Life tears at us from so many different directions, and we have so many demands on us, so many things for a woman to do. But this is an opportunity for us to get away, see what God has for us, that not only is for that time, but sows into the entire future that He has set before us. God has a purpose for your life. Come, I can't wait to see you there. Let's see what God wants to do.
If you feel like that you're not prospering and you're not successful, then go back to square one. What have you been thinking about? What is the condition of your mind? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, "What is the condition of your mind?" They're probably thinking, "I'm not sure, but I'm probably about to find out." Thank you, Lord, for the word today. We just so much appreciate you. And thank you for this great conference, for all the beautiful people that have come. And I just want to pray for them that all the word that they've gotten will stick in their life and they'll see it bear good fruit. In Jesus' name. One of my favorite statements that just came out of my heart, but I really like it, is we have to learn how to think like God thinks, and we have to learn how to talk like God talks if we want to have what God wants us to have. Our thoughts and our words are extremely important, and that's why I teach on them quite a bit. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood," so they must be spiritual weapons. "They're mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as with these weapons we refute arguments and theories and reasonings." I kind of hang on to the word reasoning because I feel in my heart today that I need to spend a little bit of time on reasoning. Some of you just spend way too much time trying to figure out stuff that only God knows the answer to, and He's not going to give you all the answers because He wants you to trust Him, not know everything. Why, God, why? When, God, when? We really get ourselves messed up thinking that we need to understand everything. "So we refute arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God." So any thought that we have that doesn't agree with this is not a thought that's coming from God. I don't even remember what it was because I got rid of it so quick. But this morning, some dumb thought came in my head about somebody. And it just, and I, you know, I said out loud, "That is stupid." Well, you know, the minute I said that, it left. One of the things I want to bring to your attention today is one of the quickest ways to get rid of a thought that you don't want, or a train of thoughts that you don't want, is to speak out loud. You have to learn how to talk back to the devil. You don't hear him in words. He affects your thinking or your emotions or how you feel or something like that. But you can talk back to the devil. Jesus did it, and if he can do it, we can do it. In 1 Peter, it says, "Resist the devil at his onset." The minute that he begins to attack you. That's why when I realized that that thought was in my mind, And the Holy Spirit will help us with that. You can pray that the Holy Spirit will make you aware when there's something in your mind that is ungodly. You may have been unaware for a lot of years, and it may take a little while to get practiced at that. But we can get to the point where we just really don't think anything stupid for very long because we begin to feel uncomfortable in spirit when we do. That's why the minute that dumb thought, and I'm glad now, I can't even remember what it was. That's how quick I recognized it and got rid of it. That's why I said out loud, it is stupid. Because when the devil said something to Jesus, Jesus said back to him, it is written, and he would quote him a scripture. That's why we need to know the Word of God. Your spirit, your soul needs to be like an encyclopedia of the Word of God. I mean, you need to know it to the point, we need to know it to the point where as soon as we hear a lie or something that doesn't agree with God, whether it's coming from a person at you or whether it's just the enemy implanting something in your mind, the minute that we recognize it, we can resist the devil at his onset. The only way that demonic thoughts become yours is if you take them and meditate on them over and over till they become part of you. Well, likewise, the only way God's word is going to really be yours is if you take it and meditate on it over and over and over until it becomes part of you. And we lead every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Who leads those thoughts away captive? We do. Romans 13:14. But clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. What does that mean? It means put on the nature of Christ. And make no provision for indulging the flesh. Now look what the Amplified says about how we make a provision for the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature in order to gratify its desires and its lusts. So if we think about something long enough, we're likely to do it. If you think about what somebody has done to you that has hurt you for a long time, and you get in their presence, it's going to be next to impossible for you to treat them with love. It may even be difficult for you to keep your mouth shut and not tell them off. If you think about whatever your favorite dessert is long enough, you're more than likely going to go get it. Where the mind goes, the man follows, and this scripture proves that. If you want to overcome the evil cravings of your physical nature, and I want to overcome mine, then we have to put a stop to thinking about those things. Now, how many of you have hang-ups in your life that you would like to get over? All right. Can I tell you a little secret? Stop thinking all the time that you're in bondage and start thinking I'm free from that. Don't sit around and think, oh, I've got such a problem with that. I have such a hang up with that. Get together with your friends. I've got such a hang up with this. This is such a bondage in my life. I just don't know if I'll ever get free. I'm addicted. I'm addicted. I'm addicted. No, you need to say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm dead to that. I am free. And I know for people who have never heard this kind of thing, it sounds like some kind of mind control, goofy, you know, new age type weird thing. But everything I'm saying to you, I can prove it in the Word of God. I'm not making this stuff up. It's all in the Bible. Romans 6. How can you remain in sin when you died with Christ when he died and were raised with him when he was raised? And then it goes through a lot of other things. It says to consider yourself dead to sin. So let me just ask you a question. How do you consider yourself? Do you consider yourself still in bondage? You know, I mean, obviously some of you do. You consider yourself dead to sin? Or do you think about, oh, I got a problem with this, I got a problem with that? Now, I'm not saying that we ignore our problems. I think we need to pray about those things between us and God. If you need to get a word of counsel, you can get that. If you need prayer, you can get that. But I'm talking about in your riding in the car to work thinking, in your taking a shower in the morning thinking, in your laying in bed at night thinking. How are you thinking? What is going on inside of you? You know what? Whatever is going on inside of you is preparing you for action. If you think all the time, I'm in bondage, then I can just tell you, you're not ever going to get out of it. And so what we do is we think wrong, we talk wrong, and then we want a miracle. We want to be delivered. We wait for the next miracle worker to come to town that can pray for us and break this stuff off of us. I'm in such bondage. I'm in such bondage. Why don't you just start by faith? And it's faith. Faith calleth those things that be not as though they are. Faith. Faith agrees verbally with God. You may not have it in reality yet, but the Bible says that it will be yours. So you start saying, I'm free. I'm free from that. And you are. Spiritually, you are free. Every freedom that you need is in your spirit. You are totally, completely delivered from every kind of bondage. It's just still being worked out in your soul and in your reality. So once again, put a stop to thinking. How many of you are with me here today? Anybody believe that might make a big change in your life? All right, now we're going to take a few minutes here and talk about the importance of meditating on the Word of God. And I want you to really listen to this, because if you don't learn to do it, the Word is never going to become any more than head knowledge to you. And it needs to be revelation. You don't need information. You need revelation. Once something becomes revelation to you, then it's something that becomes a part of you and nobody can take it away from you. I mean, you would never convince me that God doesn't love me. I don't care what kind of circumstance I had. I could never be convinced of that anymore, because I have at least meditated 1 or 2 or 3 million times on God loves me. And I remember when I did not believe that, and I would stand and look at myself in the mirror and say, God loves you. God loves you. A woman sent me a testimony the other day, and she said, all my life I thought I was ugly. I thought I was a failure. I'd been hurt by a couple different men. My first husband left me for a 17-year-old woman. I married another guy, was married to him for a long time, and then he did some terrible things, and so everything that happened to me just kept convincing me over and over that I was no good. And she said, I remember walking by the mirror and thinking, I'm so ugly. I'm so ugly. And she went to some classes at our inner city church in St. Louis. And they told her there to go and look at herself in the mirror and say, you're beautiful. God loves you. And she said, I started doing that. And now she is completely free, likes herself, doesn't feel that way about herself anymore. Listen to me. No matter what the Word of God says, if you don't believe it, it's not going to ever be real for you. I can believe it, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. That's why I tell you over and over and over and over and over and over, and your pastors tell you over and over, and it's in books and it's on CDs and it's in DVDs and it's on TV and it's in your Bible. So hopefully one of these days it'll go from here to, oh. Amen. And you know, sometimes we get proud of ourselves. We think, oh, I know that. I've got that underlined. We get so proud of what we know, but we all need to be honest and say, I don't know anything if it's not working in my life. Mark 4, 24. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study. Everybody say thought and study. That you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue, which is another word for power, and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. So he's saying when you hear the truth, if you want that truth to have power in your life, however much you think about it and study it is what's going to come back to you. We jump from subject to subject too fast. You've heard me teach on one thing now for 4 days, and that's one of the reasons why most of the time I will stick with a subject and come at it from 4 different ways in my conferences. Because one pass at us doesn't get it. But chances are, by this time next week, you may have heard teaching on 10 different subjects. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but I will tell you this. When one hits you that you know, man, I really need this, you better start making some notes and get your Bible out. And that's the thing you want to continue to study and meditate on if you want it to get down deep on the inside of you. So it says, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear. Well, what about if what you're hearing is not the truth? What about if we meditate on the lies, the deceptions that are in our mind? What about if there are strongholds in our mind and we never even knew anything about the importance of our thoughts? I lived a lot of years with my mind full of lies and I didn't even know they were there. And I was a Christian who loved God. I was saved. I believe I would have gone to heaven if I would have died, but I can tell you one thing, I had a pitiful life. And I don't think that gives God glory. I don't believe it glorifies God if we go to church every week and we have pitiful lives. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go to church. Even if our life is pitiful, we should go because that's the only place we're going to get help. But we don't want to stay that way. And it was because I was meditating on all the wrong things. And a lot of it got started when I was little. My dad would say to me over and over, you will never amount to anything. You will never amount to anything. You will never amount to anything. And because he was abusing me, at one point in my life, I started thinking, what is wrong with me that he wants to do this to me? Because I was pretty sure it wasn't happening to all the other people that I knew. And I cannot even tell you how many years that lying record played in my head. What is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And then because my personality was a little bit goofy and weird, even people would say to me sometimes, what is wrong with you? I remember after Dave and I were married just a few weeks, he looked at me and said, what is wrong with you? And I'm thinking, oh. You know, we have such a tendency to compare ourselves with other people. And we assume if we're not like them, something is wrong with us. Well, that's a lie. But if you meditate on that, then it becomes yours. It becomes your reality, and you take that into yourself. So whatever you meditate on, be it the Word of God or the lies of Satan or wrong things that people have said to you, what are some of the things that your parents or other people that you wanted love from said to you maybe 20 years ago that still is like a broken record playing on the inside of you? You can get rid of that by beginning to think and speak what God says about you. You have no idea how wonderful, how powerful, how talented, how anointed, how special you are. I mean, it just makes me want to get up and run the building when I think about what all God has said about us and His Word. Oh, my goodness. It's just so wonderful. Joshua 1 and 8. Now, you know, God had called Joshua to take the place of Moses and lead the Israelites into the promised land. And he gave him some instructions about not being afraid. But here's one of the things that he says in verse 8 that is so important. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. And the word meditate means to roll over and over in your mind and to mutter under your breath. You shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe and do. You see, we only do after it's in our mind. Where the mind goes, the man follows. If we're only going to go hear the word in church and never meditate on it and really let it become part of us, then chances are you'll never do it. Your Bible might look like a coloring book, but you're still not living the kind of life that you should be living. Meditate on it day and night that you may observe and do according to all that's written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. What a wonderful scripture that is. If you feel like that you're not prospering and you're not successful, then go back to square one. What have you been thinking about? What is the condition of your mind? How many of you feel like God's got your number this morning? Now, one more. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all of their flesh. Now, listen to this. There's a lot of different translations of the Bible, and a man named Isaac Leeser says this. The Hebrew word for health in verse 22 is medicine. God's word is medicine to all of our flesh. For example, Exodus 15:26 could read, I am the Lord your physician. The medicine that I prescribe is my word. Now look, I've got a couple of something up here, a couple of Tylenol or Advil or something. I just asked somebody to give me a couple of things that could stop a headache. Now, there's ability and inherent power in these pills to stop a headache or help a backache or whatever. If you take blood pressure medicine, there's inherent power in it to lower your blood pressure. On and on and on. We know all the different stuff. Okay, now, if I have a headache and I just kind of lay this on my head, come on, how many of you know where I'm going? Well, I have the aspirin, but I didn't take it. I didn't swallow it and let it become part of me so it couldn't do its work. Well, the Word of God is medicine for your soul. It's medicine for your flesh. It's medicine for your mind. For years, I've had my faith extended, and I pray about this on a regular basis, and this is one of the things I'm telling God I'm not going to give up. Psalm 107:20 says he sends his word and heals them and delivers them from the pit and from destruction. Well, what do you think is happening when you hear the word, whether it's from me or somebody else that you feel like really you can connect with, and your life changes? He's sending his word, and his word is healing you. You know why? Because the word of God has inherent power in it. Just like those aspirin has power in them to do a certain job, his word has power in it to deliver, to change, to set free, to renew the mind, to heal our wounded emotions, to give us beauty for ashes, and to heal us physically. And I want to see God's anointing become so strong on his word that we will see even people physically healed just while they're receiving the word of God. And I think if we would approach the word like that, I'm going today to take my medicine. And I'm going to keep taking my medicine and keep taking my medicine till it relieves all of my symptoms. I am telling you that the Word of God has healed my soul. It has renewed my mind. It has healed me physically. The Word of God is like taking a happy pill. Woo, glory. Some of you got happy pills, but I'm telling you what, you got a big happy pill right there. When is your mind normal? When you've got it set. When you've got your mind made up. I don't know that we can even believe how powerful we are when we make our minds up to something, when we are determined and we refuse to back off of it. I am telling you that the Word of God has healed my soul. It has renewed my mind. It has healed me physically. The Word of God is like taking a happy pill. Woo, glory. Some of you got happy pills, but I'm telling you what, you got a big happy pill right there. I mean, it's like taking a peace pill, a power pill. But you can't just lay it on your head. Oh, boy, I got my Bible underlined. I know this, and I know, and I know, and I know. No, you got to take it. You got to meditate on it. You got to chew it up. You got to swallow it. And when you do, there's power in the Word of God to renew your mind and change your life. Hallelujah. Have some think sessions. Sit down and think some things on purpose. Don't just take whatever falls in your head. Oh, I'm stupid. I'm ugly. Never going to overcome my past. Nothing good ever happens to me. Nobody likes me. I know those people over there are talking about me. Look at how they're looking at me. Don't let your mind be the devil's garbage dump. Don't let your mind be the place where he just comes by and throws his trash day after day after day. Say, get out of here. The next time you catch yourself thinking something stupid, just say out loud, that is stupid. You're not stupid, but the thought is stupid. The thought that the devil is putting in your mind is stupid. All right, now, when is your mind normal? Whew. What is your mental condition? Well, you know, this could probably be a four-part series in itself, but let's just see where we get here. Is a confused mind normal? And yet I could have started out today and said, how many of you have been experiencing a lot of confusion? There would have been more hands up than down. The next time you're confused, just say out loud, that's not normal. You say, well, sister, it's normal for me. Well, yeah, but we're changing that today. Amen? That's going to change today. Peaceful is normal. Peaceful. Now, you know, and this is the absolute truth. I had such a mess in my mind that when I finally started getting peaceful, and I'm telling you the truth, I was bored. Just bored. And one of my daughters, Sandra, which she would tell this herself, she's been a real perfectionist and just had to really deal with her thoughts. And God's just given her a beautiful breakthrough. And she's just got so much peace now. And she called me one day last week and she said, I need you to talk to me a little bit about that thing where you said you got bored when you got peaceful. She said, I keep feeling kind of like I don't know what to do with myself. And it's true. You can get addicted to turmoil. We can be so addicted to turmoil that if nothing is going on, we'll start something. But that's not normal. Peace is normal. When you're peaceful, you just might hear from God. Worried, frustrated, angry, that's not normal. Well, you know, I'm just a worrier. I mean, how silly is that? A passive mind. This is an area that a lot of people don't even know anything about. And a passive mind is just open for the attack of Satan. And a passive person is one who does not do their own thinking and they don't do their own acting. They wait for some outside force to move them. They wait to feel like it. A passive person is filled with wishes. They want something good to happen and they are going to sit right there and see if it does. You're never going to get rid of bad thinking if you don't replace it with good thinking. It's not a matter of just casting down the wrong thought. You have to choose right thoughts. And we have to do that on purpose. Don't have a passive mind. A busy mind. Well, how busy is our mind supposed to be? Let me just throw this out. Some people think too much. Good, one person agrees. I mean, God had to tell me a number of times in my life, Joyce, you just think too much. You know, you can think a thing to death. You can kill something with your thoughts. I love what King David said. Well, actually, he was just a shepherd when he said this. The Bible says when he came to the battle line to do battle with Goliath, he looked at him and he ran quickly to the battle line. I love that. Let me tell you something. If you stare at Goliath too long, you'll get overwhelmed and very convinced that fighting with him is a bad move. We have to learn how to not think a thing to death. Some of you have had dreams and visions in your life, and there's been great things that God's put in your heart that could be a possibility for you, and you just thought about it too much. You took a look at yourself. Well, you know. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if I wouldn't have gotten over that. I don't have the right anything to be doing this. Well, I mean, I do in God, but in the natural. I mean, that's why somebody like me just makes people in the world so mad they can't hardly stand it. How could somebody like me do something this big and be this successful at it? Because it's God, and they don't understand that. They don't understand that. I don't have all the right qualifications. Do you know that of all of Jesus' disciples, and by the way, he prayed all night before choosing them. Makes you wonder. But out of all of them, the only one the world would have approved of would have been Judas. Because he was the educated one, the proper one. Don't think your dreams and visions to death. When God called me to do this, I didn't even know women weren't supposed to do it. Somebody told me that a year later. You can't do that. You're a woman. I thought, oh. Wow. You see, I wasn't smart enough to know that women couldn't do this. And so for a while, Dave tried to teach and I tried to shut up and it just didn't work. So I went to God, well, you know, I'm a woman. He said, you think I didn't know that? Don't think your dreams and visions to death. How many of you are with me? I suppose if we thought about it too much, not very many of us would ever do what God wants us to do. You know why? Because a lot of it just doesn't make much sense to your mind. All right, we should have decisive minds. We should be able to make decisions. We should not be double-minded going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Just make a decision. Well, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? You'll survive. What if I miss God? What if I miss God? He'll find you. Oh, but we can have a happy mind, a glad mind, a peaceful mind, a thankful mind, a satisfied and a content mind, a patient mind. We can have a mind full of ways to bless other people. Since hearing my teaching this weekend, have any of you gotten up in the morning and purposely thought about what you could do to be a blessing to somebody else? Good, that's about 10% of the crowd. What's the matter with the rest of you? You know what it is? You need to hear that one again. And again. And oh, God was talking to me. Oh. What should be the normal condition of our mind? 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children, immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in your minds be mature men. Wow. When is my mind normal? When I'm not thinking like a baby. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? No, you missed the robot. I ain't doing it again. When is your mind normal? When you've got it set. When you've got your mind made up. I don't know that we can even believe how powerful we are when we make our minds up to something, when we are determined and we refuse to back off of it. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, my determined purpose is to know him and the power of his resurrection. When you say that, you're saying, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how much effort it takes. I am going to keep at this until I know God personally, the wonders of his person, how marvelous he is, till I know his character. I'm determined to know him. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Peter the same thing about resisting the devil. Be determined to resist him at his onset, to stand against him, to be steadfast, to press through every attack of the enemy. Be determined. You won't even exercise regularly if you're not determined. Do we have to talk about that? Sister, I would like to get a little more exercise. I think I would feel a little better and not be so stiff, but I just hate it. Well, first of all, you need to stop that. You can make your mind up to things. Now, don't throw something at me. You don't have to overeat. First of all, get your mind off food. Hey, food's good. I enjoy my food. I'm pretty picky about my food. When I eat it, I want to enjoy it. But you know, I found when I'm busy all day, I don't even get hungry. But you let me sit in the chair at night with nothing else to do. Think about it, think about it, think about it, think about it. Think about it, think about it, think about it. And probably the more bored you are and the less active you are, the more you want to eat. Come on now. I'm just trying to help you. And I'll tell you another time when I think about food too much, if I let myself get too hungry, Sometimes in an effort to not eat too much, we don't eat enough. And then we end up thinking about food all the time. I've found out if I get really hungry, I'm better off to just eat a little something and then get it off my mind. Make your mind up that you're going to overcome your past. Be determined. Set your mind. I've shared this a few times. I don't know if it's hit TV yet or not, but Dave is a man who really understands the value of setting his mind in a direction. Yay, Dave. Yay, Dave. Amen. And, you know how much he loves golf. You hear me talk about it all the time. So, you know, he was having a little trouble with his back, a little trouble with this, a little trouble with that, and that's all better now, but I said to him one day, I said, Dave, how are you going to feel about it if you ever get to the point where you can't play golf? And he said, I've already thought about that, and I've already got my mind set. Now listen to this. He said, I've already thought about that, and I've already got my mind set. If that day ever comes, I'll be just as happy not playing as I am playing. Wow. Wow. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do when all my kids leave, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Why don't you just make your mind up that it's going to be good? Every season in your life can be good. Just because something changes, the new thing doesn't have to be bad. Have a new mindset. Get a mindset. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to learn how to do things the right way. I'm going to be a person of excellence. Make your mind up and stop changing it. A made-up mind, a powerful, powerful thing, a made-up mind. Set your mind and keep it set on things that are above. The Bible says there's a mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh. The mind of the Spirit is thinking with the mind of Christ. Thinking according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The mind of the flesh, the Bible says, the Amplified Bible says, is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. Sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. So the mind of the flesh is thinking and looking at things in the natural rather than looking at them with God on your side. I'm sure when Abraham looked at himself and he looked at Sarah, and the Bible says that he considered his body that was 100 years old. He considered her barren womb. And yet the Bible says that no unbelief or doubt made him waver concerning the promise of God, because he grew strong as he gave praise and glory to God. He did think about it, but he didn't let the thinking overwhelm him. He didn't think just with sense and reason. He thought with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I'm 100 years old, but God. Yes, I'm lacking education, but God. Yes, I'm limited in this, but God. Yes, I'm the only Christian in my family, but God is with me all the time. We don't have to ignore what we are, but we can think about it with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to think about it without the Holy Spirit. Sense and reason without the Holy Spirit is the mind of the flesh. Woo! My. The mind of the flesh is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, and it ministers death and all the miseries that arise from sin. The mind of the Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That's Romans 8, 4 through 6. Now, doubtful and unbelieving mind, a confused mind, a critical, suspicious mind. Let me ask you a question. Do you really have to give your opinion about everything in the world? I mean, does anybody really care? What I think. Now let me just talk for a minute. Just a minute. Or maybe two. about reasoning. Now listen. I mean, I literally was addicted to reasoning. I could not settle down until I thought I had everything figured out. The sad thing was God had to teach me that even though I thought I had things figured out, I had a lot of stuff in the wrong box. And I can tell you the truth, I've just got so much peace now for many reasons, but one is I just don't try to figure stuff out. I mean, I just don't try to figure it out. If God wants to tell me, I'm more than open to learning. But I am not driving myself nuts anymore trying to figure stuff out that only God knows and He's not seeming to want to tell me yet. Now, why did they get healed and I didn't get healed? Why, God, why? When, God, when? Just say, God, if you want me to know, tell me. I'm open to learning. There's something here I need to learn. Teach me. But you just need to announce to the devil, I am finished trying to figure things out. Remember back to 2 Corinthians? Arguments, theories, reasonings. We need to cast those things down. Start learning to say, I am not going to try to figure it out. And when people come to you and say, man, I heard about your problem, so what are you going to do? You need to say, I don't know, and I ain't going to try to figure it out. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting that we all just be dumb. I mean, obviously, you can meditate on something long enough to see if something makes sense or God gives you something. But the moment that you start to feel confused, that's your signal that you've gone too far. That's the I've gone too far buzzer. Now, last thing, and I have to talk to you about this, very important. I probably get this in every seminar some way, but it's one of the most important things we have to keep in front of us. What kind of thoughts do you have about yourself? You know, we have to learn how to think like God thinks. So let me just leave you today with a few things that you need to think about yourself. All biblical. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, stand up. We're going to stand up and say these things. I am forgiven. I want you to close your eyes and just drink these things in when you say it. Say, I am right with God. I am forgiven. I am loved. I am powerful. Able. Justified. Redeemed. Restored. Blessed. Creative. Complete. A new creature. Dead to sin. Free from guilt. The home of God. Changing for the better every day. I am bold. I am confident. I am wise. And I have the mind of Christ. Amen. All right. Love you all. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Well, I really hope that today's teaching has helped you to understand how meditating on or thinking about God's Word is the key to knowing His perfect will and living the good life that He intended for you to live. Yes, God has a good life for you to live, but we have to learn to think like God thinks if we want to have what God wants us to have. Let me say that again. We need to learn to think like God thinks if we want to have what God wants us to have. And you know, I've written a lot of books and have a lot of teaching, and we make that available to you on a daily basis here on the program. And so it's kind of like I've done all this work that can benefit you, and all you have to do is either get online or make a phone call and order something that's going to really benefit your life. So today we're offering the Power Thoughts book. It's a book that's just full of simple instruction on things that you can think on purpose, yes, I said on purpose, that will actually be life-changing things. And then also a single CD on growing in wisdom. You know what? Wisdom is one of the most important principles that God teaches us in His Word. And I always say that wisdom is doing now what you're going to be happy with later on. Make wise choices today, and you're going to have a great life in the future. Thank you for joining us today. And remember that God thinks you're special, and you need to hold your head up high today. You don't have to compete and compare with anybody else. God's eye is on you, and He's got a good plan for you. Thank you.
Dear Joyce, I'm going to read your book, Power Thoughts, for the third time. I cannot tell you how inspirational your book has been to me. It has truly changed my thinking. Thank you for writing this book.
Today, we'd like to offer Joyce's book, Power Thoughts, plus a single CD called Growing in Wisdom. With this book, you'll learn 12 strategies to win the battle of your mind. Our thoughts chart the course for our lives and point us in directions that ultimately determine our destinations in life. And if you need help making decisions in life, in this CD, Joyce shares 5 areas where the Bible delivers wisdom for a more peaceful, satisfying life. Find out what can happen in your life when you begin to follow the wisdom in His Word. For a donation of $20 or more, you can get this book and CD by calling 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
We host these conferences every year because as we worship and study the Word, God changes us. So I encourage you, just show up, and God will make the weekend unforgettable.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, and Hershey, Pennsylvania. For details, go to joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-